Hey, man.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Pretty good, man. You ready for the game?
Oh, yeah. Wife and kids are back here.
All right. Let's do this.
Oh, man. Not again.
What's that?
My paycheck. It just seems like every week it gets smaller and smaller. I don't get it. Man. You know, I'm a diligent, hard worker.
Oh, man.
You know, and they're like cutting my hours back. I don't understand that. Why is that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, at least you have a job, right? I've been going out, I've been handing out resumes. I can't get any work, you know? I'm still unemployed. You know what? I can't handle any more letdowns. And I'm just worried that I need to get a job soon.
Yeah, well, how am I supposed to provide for the family with this kind of money? You know, gee, it's, you know, last month we barely made the bills and last night, I barely slept because I was worrying about this all night.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what. I feel your pain. You know, I'm a single guy. I got all these bills stacking up. Dude, you would think with a college education from Penn State, you know, senior, walk right out, get a job. That's not going to happen. You know, all I'm getting from this college education is just like a stack of student loan bills.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started there. My son's dream someday is to go to college. How do I put food on the table, let alone pay make money to pay my bills?
Yeah, and I know what you're saying, man. Yep. You know, just having a wife and kids, what am I going to look forward to? Life, kids, a house. I need to get a house where I can't even take care of myself right now. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm getting seriously worried. I need to find a job. I'm getting worried, man.
Yeah, what kind of father am I? What kind of man am I that I can't even provide for my family?
Right.
I'm so worried, too.
I know. Well, let's get to the game.
Dad, no, it's okay. No, don't worry about it, okay? I'll take care of it. I'm always here for you. You know that, okay? One day at a time, you know? She had a bad day today, but that's okay. One day at a time, okay? Now, listen, I got to get the kids fed, and I need to eat some dinner, too. So go have dinner with Mom, and I'll call you later, okay? You haven't eaten yet? All day? Well, didn't Mom cook for you, or, well, are there groceries? Well, did you order takeout or something? I mean, you gotta eat. Oh. Okay, no, don't worry about it. You know, I will, I'll find a sitter, and I'll be right over, okay? I'll make something. It's okay. Just go be with Mom right now, and, no, don't worry, Dad. I'll be right there, okay? Yeah, oh yeah, I'm fine, I'm great, okay. All right, I'll be right there. All right. Oh, my poor dad. He is so worried right now. He's so scared that she's just going to be gone one day and then he'll be alone. He's so worried about being alone. And I don't blame him. I mean, he's had her for 52 years, 52 years they've been married, and for 52 years she's been taking care of him, cooking, cleaning, laundry. He's so worried that he's going to have to take care of himself, and he doesn't know how. And I try to be strong for them. I really do. I try and take their worries, but, you know, I'm worried too. I'm scared. What if I can't provide for them? What if I'm not enough? You know, I know she has her good and bad days, but I didn't realize how bad it was getting until the other week. We was having lunch at their house, and we were having a really great time laughing and eating, and then she forgot my name. My own mother didn't recognize me. She kicked me out of the house and called me a stranger. I mean, I know this kind of thing happens. My friends have told me their own stories of going through it, and, you know, forgetting names is the first thing, and leaving the oven on, or going to church in their slippers, leaving a box of tissues in the refrigerator, things like that. It's comical almost. But this hit home. This really worried me. I'm just so worried, so burdened by this. How am I supposed to take care of them? What if she does go? What happens then? What if I can't take care of him? I'm just so worried.
Thank you, guys. So how many of you worried this week? Come on, raise your hand. Lynn Stone, get your hand up. I know you're a macho guy, but you had to worry about something this week. Think about it. What is it that is causing you anxiety this week as you're looking at another week? Worry, anxiety are common denominators for all of us. This morning we want to take a look at God's solution for worry found in the Lord's Prayer. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. And that's where we find the Lord's Prayer. At least what is referred to as the Lord's Prayer. This is week 3 of a 5-week series. Week 1 was Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. We focused in on what does it mean for God to be our Heavenly Father, the kind of relationship that He desires to have with us. And hallowed be your name, the fact that our prayer, our heart's desire needs to be that His name is honored and exalted. Week 2 was, Your Kingdom Come, Your Will Be Done. We referenced the fact that all of us desire to be king over our own kingdoms, but we need to allow Christ to be on the throne of our lives so that His kingdom can be advanced in our hearts and in our lives. And this morning, we want to zero in and focus on Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. But before we focus on that, I want us to read together, out loud, the Lord's Prayer, beginning in verse 9. So join with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. To fully appreciate the Lord's Prayer, we need to see it in the broader context of the Sermon on the Mount. And specifically, to fully appreciate Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, we need to connect it with Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. So everybody, just turn the page in your Bible. And follow along as I read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. As I read this, I want you to be looking for the parallels, the connection of how this relates to the Lord's Prayer. So again, follow along as I read. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see some parallels? See the connection in the Lord's Prayer? It begins, our Father in heaven. What is the phrase that we see in Matthew chapter 6 as Jesus is referencing God? How does he refer to God as he's teaching the disciples? In verse 26, he says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. If you look down also in verse 32, he says, for the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The same language, the same analogy of understanding who God is that we see in the Lord's Prayer is to continue to be developed in his teaching here in Matthew chapter 6. Another parallel that we see the Lord's Prayer is found in verse 33. Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The second part of the Lord's Prayer is about God's kingdom, his kingdom being advanced, his will being done. And here again, we see that Jesus is referencing God's kingdom. But the most important parallel that I want to bring together is how Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34 relates to verse 11. Give us today our daily breads. If we're going to wake up in the morning and we're going to pray that prayer, God, give us today our daily bread. In other words, God, meet my needs today. You have to be convinced that what is said in Matthew 6, 25 through 34 is true. You need to be convinced that your heavenly Father knows your needs and is going to care and provide for you. I love the analogy that he uses as he's trying to help the disciples, his followers, to understand how much God cares about them. He says, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the wildflowers. Look at the birds of the air. God provides for them. He takes care of them. Are you not much more important than them? How much more will God take care of you? Verse 32. What does he mean when he says, for the pagans run after all of these things? The pagans, he's referencing those who don't believe in God, those who don't follow God. He says, of course, the pagans, those who don't believe in God, have to spend an enormous amount of energy and anxiety trying to provide for themselves, trying to take care of their needs. But you know that God is your heavenly Father. You should know that God is going to provide for you. Many times we're like the pagans. We don't trust that God is going to provide for our needs. So we determine that we can probably provide for our needs better than God can. And we take situations into our own hands to get the results that we want. In some ways, it's sort of a God complex. Well, I can't trust God to come through, so I need to make sure I get the outcome that I need. Louis Giglio, in his book, I Am Not, But I Know I Am, says this. He says, things go terribly wrong when we try to assume control of our lives and those around us. When we take responsibility for meeting our needs in our timetable and our way, things go terribly wrong. For one, we sentence ourselves to a heavy load. We call it the weight of the world that God never intended for us to carry. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, say, give us today our daily bread. Look to your heavenly Father to provide for you, to care for you. You don't have to carry the weight of the world. Running our world is too much for us, no matter how hard we try. To try to be God, something I find I'm really bad at, without having the wisdom and power of God, is a ridiculous proposition, a daunting task. Attempting to orchestrate the world around us, even for a day, leaves us stressed and spent. Why did Jesus say, give us today our daily bread? Was it because God is not aware of our needs? No. Look with me in verse 32. again, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your heavenly Father is sovereign over all. He is well aware of all of the needs in your life, the big ones, the small ones, the day-to-day, the ones you've been struggling with for years. God is aware of all of your needs. So why did Jesus teach his followers to pray, "Give us today our daily bread"? Why did he teach us to pray that God would be the one who meets our needs if he already knows what they are? In fact, just to even develop the thought more, that's not what prayer is about, letting God know our needs. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. He says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father," there's the imagery again, "knows what you need before you ask them." So why do we, in the Lord's Prayer, see that Jesus is saying, "Give us today our daily breads," when we get up in the morning to say, "God, meet my needs today," if he already knows what they are? You see, you and I are going to wake up tomorrow morning, and our natural tendency is going to be, you know what? I got this and this and this, and I got to take care of this. And it's all about me. And that God complex takes over. And so Jesus says, no, you begin every day by saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. God, we're going to look to you to provide for us." Here's the big difference in that, the way that fleshes out in a given day. If you start the day with the God complex, "I've got to provide for my needs," or a day of, "God, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to depend on you to provide for my needs," you're going to probably do the same things, but you're going to live that day from a different place. If you believe that you are the one who ultimately needs to provide for yourself, that you can't trust God to come through, you're going to be full of anxiety and stress, and you're going to be uptight all day because the outcome depends upon you. But when you say, "Give us today our daily bread," it's the reminder, "Oh, God is my Father. He cares about me. He cares about the birds of the air. He cares about the lilies of the field. He knows my needs. God, you meet my needs. God, you be Lord of my life. You provide for me." The Lord's Prayer is about us depending upon God, looking to him to meet our needs. Another significant observation that I want to draw your attention to in this passage, in verse 11, he says, "Give us today our daily bread." He doesn't say, "Give me today my daily bread." Did you ever catch that? You ever notice that? That's how I normally pray. "Give me today my daily bread." Look at the verses 12 and 13. Look how we see the word "us," not the word "me." "Forgive us our debts," verse 13, "and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I'd encourage you to think about that this week. Pray about that. Say, "God, what is it that I need to understand in that?" Here's what I think Jesus wanted his disciples to understand, what you and I to understand this morning. That even though we're individuals and we have individual problems and needs, that we need to see ourselves as part of a broader community. We need to view our individual lives in the context of the body of Christ. And those relationships are so important that when we pray, we're not just bringing before God our needs, our struggles, but we are thinking in terms of the whole family. Whether that's the whole CBC family, whether that's your ABF, your Adult Bible Fellowship, whether it's your small group. Think about if you prayed, "Give us," rather than "me." There's a lot there. I encourage you to think about it and pray about it. The last thing that I want us to see is that we need to depend upon God to meet our daily needs. The two words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, that may be the most important is "today" and "daily." God doesn't say, "Give us our monthly needs. give us our weekly needs, give us our yearly needs. He says, give us today our daily bread, today. Jesus wants you and I to live in the moment, to trust Him for today. See again how give us today our daily bread relates to Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. From the very beginning, God has wanted His followers to take one day at a time and to look to Him every single day, to be dependent on Him every single day of our lives. Why? Because when we're dependent upon Him, we can live with rest and peace. Think back to an Old Testament story. Think back to when the Israelites were taken into the desert. For those of you who are not familiar with the story, God provided manna for them. Bread from heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Bread from heaven, manna. How often did God provide the manna? Was it once a week, once a month? No. Every single day. And what was the instructions that God gave to the Israelites? He said, take up your buckets, go out and gather for your family enough for one day. If you have the God complex, human nature says, I better take a little extra. Because what if God doesn't come through for me tomorrow? What was the instructions that God gave to Moses? He told Moses, he says, you tell the people that one day at a time is all they can gather. Gather what they need for that day. Because they're going to need to get up the next day and trust and look for me to provide again. But let's look at what they did. Exodus chapter 16 says, each one gathered as much as he needed, which was fine. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. No God complexes here. No, I'm going to take care of myself. Nope. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. You see, from the very beginning, God wants us, His children, His followers, to rest, understanding that He is our Heavenly Father and that He's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us. He knows our needs. He's going to do it. You and I need to begin to align ourselves with Him. We need to begin each day by saying, God, I'm going to look to You to meet my needs today. Give me, give us today our daily bread. Take a look at what Elizabeth Elliot says. You have a quote on the screen. She says, we make our lives insupportably complex by disobeying Jesus' command to make no thought for tomorrow. Wouldn't life be a lot less complex if we were able to just say, you know what, God, meet my needs today. Are You meeting my needs today? Yes. That's all I need. Planning for tomorrow when planning is necessary and possible belongs properly to today. Jesus was not speaking against planning for tomorrow. Worrying about tomorrow belongs nowhere. The Lord gives us daily, not weekly bread. Look how Elmer Towns communicates this thought from his book on the Lord's Prayer. If you want to follow along, it's in the back of your handout. He says, the petition, give us this day our daily bread, has a very simple yet understandable truth. We live from day to day. We eat from day to day because we have needs from day to day. So when you pray, give us this day, you are telling the Father, you will walk with Him one day at a time. The phrase, this day, stresses daily patience that should characterize your life. Think of those who are stressed out with anxiety because they face the problems of tomorrow before tomorrow comes. Is it not true that most of the problems you worry about never happen? So Jesus gives us a beautiful way to live. When you pray for bread for this day, you are telling God that you intend to live just one day at a time. When you pray for bread for this day, you are expressing ultimate confidence in God. Not ultimate confidence in self, ultimate confidence in God. You are recognizing that He is your Father and you are His child. So what does this look like in our lives, day to day, week to week? How does God provide for us, His children? Are you here this morning, and have you experienced God's provision in your life? Or is this something that you've just read about? God wants to show you that He is your Heavenly Father and that He will provide for you. This week I sent out an email. For those of you who are not on the CBC email list, you can simply contact the church office and you can become part of that list. And I sent out an email to that list and I said, share with me stories of God's provision in your life. Share how God, your Heavenly Father, provided for you. I was bombarded with story after story. I went through a lot of them and weren't even able to include them. First service, I didn't even get through half of them that I hope to share with you. But let me just share a couple of them this morning about how God, our Heavenly Father, has provided for some of you. This was an email, actually, I received in March. It says, last Wednesday we found out that we had a balance due with our oil company of $1,300. It was shocking to us, and with my husband's hours being cut, right now things are really tight. We had no idea of how to pay this balance. We asked our class for prayer about working with the oil company, with the issue at hand to keep attitudes appropriate and for God's provision. We were hoping it was a mistake of some kind. I met with a lady from the oil company on Monday morning and got the paperwork from this past year, and all the numbers added up correctly, and there was no mistake. The amount owed was the same. She explained all of the arguments I had about why we weren't notified earlier about this. So I left the meeting discouraged. Here again, at that point, you have one or two ways to respond. From a place of, what am I going to do? To a place of, God, you said you're my Heavenly Father. How are you going to work this one out? Monday afternoon, I received a call from a family in our church who heard about our situation and wanted to bless us and pay our bill in full. Praise the Lord. I'm still in shock over how God works. He is so awesome. This is from a man. It was a unique situation for me. I never had an accident as an adult, never even had any kind of ticket. You can tell it was a man. But now I was nursing my truck home after rear-ending another truck that had stopped in the road during this year's big blizzard, hidden from sight by drifting snow. My pride was hurt more than my truck. But when I realized my insurance deductible was $500, pride gave way to discouragement. We just didn't have anything to pay it with. God has brought us through financial struggles before, so I had to trust Him again for whatever path I needed to take. After a few days later, I found out that I would not have to make the payment for my son's college loan that month. That was $200. What a blessing from God. Now I only needed to finance $300. The next day, I received an envelope from someone here at CBC. They wrote a short note about God's blessing them and wanting to share His blessing with us. In the envelope, with this beautiful anonymous note, were three $100 bills. Just what he needed. He goes on to say, they could not have known about my truck, the deductible, or that I already had $200 set aside. God's people responding to the Spirit's moving provided us with the exact amount we needed to pay for our car repairs. Beginning to see a theme in these two emails? How does God provide for His family? It's through His people. You and I need to be in tune to God's Spirit, His leading and prompting. This is from a lady who was abandoned by her unfaithful husband. She emailed me this week and says, Ed Gaiman and Mark Hoffman replaced my furnace after it was determined that the old one was on its last leg and probably would not have gotten through the following winter. I cannot afford to pay them until the household, but that does not stop them from being the ones that God used to take care of me. I love the way that she can connect the dots. God used Mark and Ed to take care of me. Here's one of the most powerful. When I reflected on the many ways God has provided for us over the years, the first thing that always comes to my mind was when we were in the tightest position financially, but in need of formula for our 10-month-old son. One Sunday morning, I went to write out the tithe check and realized we were down to our last $26. My husband's paycheck that week was about $250, so I knew that we should really be giving that last $25 that morning in tithe. The only problem was our son was on the last of the formula we had. After measuring out what we had left, I found out that I only had enough formula to last through the next morning's feeding, and that was it. I had a dilemma. What would you do in that situation? There's $26 left in your checking account. If you tithe to the Lord, you give $25 to Him, and you don't have money to buy formula for your 10-month-old son. To me, that captures this passage in Matthew chapter 6 and captures what Jesus wants us to understand in the Lord's Prayer. Because at that moment, this couple needs to decide, are they going to trust in themselves, their plan, or are they going to live out Matthew 6:33? Let me read to you Matthew 6:33 again. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's really rubber meets the road. Am I going to trust God as my Heavenly Father that He knows my need and He's going to provide for my need? Let's face it. When you and I put money in the offering plate, isn't that really what it comes down to? I don't put money in the offering plate, or I don't put as much as I sense God is leading me to because why? I need to provide for myself. And every time we place that money in the offering plate, we place that tithe, we place what God is asking us to give, we're acknowledging that God is our Heavenly Father, and we're not going to trust in ourselves, but we're going to trust on Him to provide for us. Here's how this story plays out. I had a dilemma. Do I figure that our baby needs formula and buy the formula with that last $25, or do we give this entitled tithe, pray and recognize that God sees our baby has a need? After praying and then talking it through with my husband, we decided to go ahead and give the tithe money and pray for God to provide what our baby needed by the next morning. Not only was that a stretch for us, we were also supposed to bring a dessert that evening to our ABF pool party. Scambling through the cupboards to see what I could even make for that night, I realized I didn't have much of anything to make and even consider not going to the ABF event. Somehow I managed to scrape together enough change throughout the house. This was enough to buy the thinnest carton of milk along with a single pack of cookies. I went home and mixed the milk with what we had of pudding mix in the cupboard and crushed the cookies, sprinkling it on top of the dessert. It would look pretty, and we went off to the party. That evening, as I was sitting by the pool giving my son one of the last bottles of formula I had for him, another woman from our ABF came up to me and asked what kind of formula our son was on. When I told her Similac, she said, "Great, I have a whole bunch of formula at home that we can't use anymore because our daughter is no longer using it. Will you be home tomorrow morning?" I could hardly believe my ears and just praise God for His provision. To my surprise, she showed up my door the next morning with not one, but 9 cans of formula for our baby. That turned out to be a little over $90 in formula. Let's give the Lord a hand on that one, huh? Some of you are in situations this morning where you're wrestling with, can I trust God? Am I going to depend on God? And if you say, no, I can't, worry and anxiety will overtake you. Or you can choose to trust God, to stand on His promises and say, God, You're my Heavenly Father. You know my needs. I'm going to trust You. I also recognize that sometimes God doesn't come through for us the way we think He should. Sometimes the check in the mail doesn't show up. Sometimes the loved one isn't healed. Let me show you what Jesus said as we think about Him being our daily bread. He says, Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to this world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is enough for us. God meets our physical needs. He meets our emotional needs. And when our physical needs don't get met the way we want, we can still cling to the truth and reality that Jesus is our daily bread, that He is enough, that He is our portion. An individual wrote this week and said, God's provision for me has always been about finding Jesus for every moment. In John 6:35, Jesus says, He is the bread of life. So asking God to give us this day our daily bread for me is asking the Father to give me Jesus. In whatever circumstances I'm in, whatever trial I'm facing or joy I'm rejoicing in, if I can feast on the Lord Jesus Christ, I have all that I need. If I can fix my eyes and heart and mind on the prize that is set before me and the promises of God's word, they are mine to claim. Then my soul can find rest in God, in Him alone. And by God's grace, I can remain faithful through the trials and be counted as the one who will shine like the stars. We're going to have Andrew and the band from LBC to come out again. And we're going to close out the service by singing, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Listen as I read to you the chorus in verse 1. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promises, just to know, thus saith the Lord.
All right, if you guys want to stand up, we're going to declare that this morning.
Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Trust His cleansing blood. just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. Trust in the Lord. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend.
Sing it out. Here we go.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Sing that again. Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him.
On the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
God, our Heavenly Father, is committed to meeting our needs. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can call you our Father, that you care about us as your sons and daughters. Lord, we pray that you would give us the faith to trust you to provide for the deep longings and desires of our hearts, for the big and the small things. Lord, I pray that you would protect us from ourselves, from our God complex, that we would walk depending upon you, that we would wake up in the morning and we would say, God, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. I'm going to look how you're going to provide for my needs today. And then when we get to the end of the day, Lord, that we would worship and praise you for how you've met our needs. Lord, help us to walk in worship of you each and every day. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Two announcements. One is the chairs do not come down this morning. And secondly, if you are new to Community Bible Church, I'd love to have you the opportunity to greet you in the hospitality room, which is past the Welcome Center. Down the hall to the left, we have a gift bag, we have some refreshments, and I'd love to have the opportunity to greet you. Lord bless you. Have a great week. Standing on His promises.